The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Corey Brunman of The Athletic. Corey, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
I appreciate it, man. And, you know, we are in the lead up now to the NHL draft. Obviously, the playoffs have been very exciting and fun up to this point. And hopefully the Sharks can talk about the playoffs in the future that is sooner rather than farther away. But, you know, right now, everyone in San Jose has been having the, you know, question about who they should take with their number two overall pick. But I want to ask you, did everyone's outlook or thoughts on the draft change because the Islanders jumped up so much? And does that affect how we think things could go down? Just because of, I think, of where that team was in the recent history, I don't think they're as far off as some of the other teams that, you know, we talk about that we expected to maybe have that, you know, number one, two, or three overall pick. So did that change things for you, or did it change the chatter around the NHL world?
Well, I just think it was not an organization we thought would be in the mix for the first overall pick. In terms of the exact order of players, I don't know if it changes things that dramatically. I think if this was 6 months ago, 12 months ago, and James Hagans, who was a Long Island native and came into the year as the potential first overall pick, might have still been in the conversation. I could see the argument just because this is an organization that lost John Tavares a while ago, and it just, there'd be a lot of primary hockey variables, but then some secondary stuff there that could have maybe tilted the Islanders towards the direction of Hagans. But Hagans had a very good year, but I don't think it was an outstanding draft season, and he's kind of not in the first overall conversation anymore. It's really Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman in Erie, maybe Michael Misa, the center in Saginaw. Those are the only two guys I ever really hear scouts nominate in the first overall conversation. I've maybe talked to one scout that has Porter Martone, the winger from Brampton, in that conversation. But it's really between Schaefer and Misa right now, and I would say that that's probably still the case for the Islanders, even though there would be a potential feel-good story in the case of Hagans. I think that's too far off the board at one, and I kind of still think it's likely going to be Schaefer with an outside chance of Misa for the Islanders.
Let me ask you about Martone before we jump to Misa and Schaefer, because the talking point I've always heard is that, well, he's big, he's 6'3", he can play a heavy game, but he's still a highly skilled athlete. And they always say out here, like, oh, that fits Mike Greer's profile. And I kind of think to myself, well, doesn't that fit every GM's profile? Wouldn't you like the bigger, stronger, faster, meaner guy? I mean, I understand the point they're trying to make with Mike Greer especially, but it's not like an argument being made for Martone is some crazy idea. I mean, he's 6'3". He's still filling out. He's young. He's an athlete. You can see. I mean, he's a quality player.
He's a fantastic player. You know, like I said, he's 6'3". I think he gets unfairly compared to the Tkachuk brothers. I don't think he's that level of, especially Brady. Like, he's not that kind of physical a player, but like, nobody is. The Tkachuks are very unique, but he's a competitive player. I compare him to Philip Forsberg. You know, I think that's the kind of player you're hoping for with the size and the skill and the competitiveness. And like Forsberg, I don't think his feet are elite at that age, but I think, you know, he's a really, really talented player. And you're right. Like, every team in the league is going to want a big, heavy team. They're going to want, you know, guys who can make plays, and like, there's all these things are positives, but you don't get to pick everybody. You got to pick one player, and you got to figure out what traits you value. And the traits could be size, it could be speed, it could be scoring, it could be a center versus a wing or a defenseman versus a wing. And those are the decisions that San Jose has to mull through, presuming Schaefer goes one, although that's not a guarantee. They have to kind of figure out which one of those forwards they're going to prefer at two. And I think Martone should absolutely be in that conversation. He's a fantastic young player with a rich history of scoring. And I think even though his skating isn't amazing, I think He has a style of game that will translate into the National Hockey League very successfully. And I think, we'll see what San Jose decides in that regard.
When we talk about Schaefer and Misa, the dynamic comes up of drafting for talent versus drafting for need. What are your thoughts on just that subject of need versus overall talent?
Which team?
For, let's say the Sharks, keep it easy.
Well, I think Schaefer, clear best player in the draft, so I wouldn't call picking him drafting for need. I think if he was somehow there at two, I think Greer's going to be doing a light jog up to whatever podium they're using to announce this pick. I mean, he's just an unreal defenseman. He's so dynamic with his skating, his competitiveness, his skill. I think at the top of the draft in general, though, talking more theoretical, that need comes into play a little bit more. That teams will say, even though the talent difference between 1, 2, 2 and 3, 3 and 4 is usually bigger than it is between 22 and 23 or 23 and 24, because the issue is you're usually talking about a very small subset of players at 2 or 3, whereas at 23 or 24, it's usually a much bigger subset of players, and it tends to be whoever's there. You usually have a guy who's ranked 13, and that's their clear guy. But at 2 or 3, you hope to only get so many kicks at this can. You don't want to be picking the top five forever. So you do have to, at some point, look at your organization and think, well, we love all these guys. We love Mac. We love Macklin Celebrini. We love Dickinson. We love Will Smith. And we're hoping at some point to all give them a ton of money because they're all such great players and they're going to be locked into our salary cap for the next 8 years. So you have to kind of think about how your team's coming together a little bit. And I think if Schaefer's there, that's not a conversation because one, they really need him, and two, he's the clear best player in my opinion. Not every scout, but in my opinion, he's the clear best player in the draft. If it's Misa there, then I think that's a more structured conversation. Misa versus Marteau, Misa versus Caleb Desnoyers, Misa versus Anton Frondell. What do you think you need? Is Misa for sure a center? Is Will Smith for sure going to be a center on a contending team? I think those are the kind of the questions that the Sharks are going to have to figure out.
When we talk about Schaefer, just before I move on to the next question, I just want to ask that what I keep on hearing about him is his patience and his mind on the ice. And I think about that compared to Dickinson, who the Sharks got last year as their second first round pick. And people talk about the bomb of his shot, but not so much about his mind. In the limited amount that we got to see of Schaefer, what did you see in terms of his hockey IQ that has everybody kind of talking about that?
Yeah, I mean, he's a smarter player than Dickinson. I don't think Dickinson lacks hockey sense, but I think Schaefer's his puck skills, his hockey sense are superior. They're both phenomenal athletes. They're both 6'2", 6'3" guys. More in the case of Dickinson, I think he's closer to 6'3", who can just absolutely fly. I think almost every scout I talk to has Schaefer rated as the best skater in the draft while being 6'2", and he's really competitive, and he just impacted the game every single time I watched him this year, which was limited, mind you, because he had injuries. He had he had an injury at the World Juniors that knocked him out for the second half, and he missed the start of the year due to mono. But every time I watched him this year, he just dominated the game. He's just a really a well-rounded player. It's not just the hockey sense, it's not just the skill, it's the skating, it's the defensive play, it's his work ethic. He checks every box. And I think he has every indication he's going to be a top pair defenseman in the NHL.
With Misa, people talk about his previous play with Igor Chernyshov, and people think, oh, well, there's a natural fit there in San Jose. And I always like I'm of two minds of that. It's like, yeah, you could have yourself a developing line mate situation, but it's also at the same time, it's like, I don't know, is that a little bit too cute? Like something that makes so much sense on the surface.
It's very cute, but I think it's more going to be that the Sharks are going to be very familiar with Misa because they've are probably monitoring Chernyshev's development and going in to watch him and stuff like that. In terms of a long-term projection, like I think Igor Chernyshov looks like a great player. He went in the high second round last year. I think if you redo that draft, he's clearly going in the first round, but he's not a, maybe he's a mid first round, maybe he's a late first round. He's not in that range where he's an absolute sure thing to play 700 NHL games. Misa is. So you can't be projecting your depth chart on that. You're thinking, where does Misa fit with Eklund? Where does Misa fit with Will Smith? Or, that's a more interesting conversation than where he might fit with Chernyshev in 3 to 5 years. in the NHL, but I do think they are going to be as familiar with Mesa as any NHL team was, given how much viewings they probably had of him this year.
When you watch Misa, what do you see? Because I see, again, a very high IQ, and I also see a lot of timing with him. Like, it just seems like he is one of the, I know we say that he slows down the game, but I compare it to a guy who his processing speed is just a little bit faster. Like, he seems a step ahead.
Yeah, he's one of the smartest players in the OHL, a fantastic playmaker, which is all great, but I think what makes scouts really optimistic about Misa is his skating and that he can, do the fancy plays off the perimeter and run a power play and, as you said, slow it down. But I think he's also a great skater who generates a lot of offense off the rush. He attacks with pace, gets to the net to create offense. There's a lot of things he does that translates really well. The people who might have minor questions about Misa would kind of wonder, like, just how physical is he? Is he going to be is he like an amazing two-way centerman? Like, probably Dinoyer and Frondelle are a little bit better in that regard, but he skates better than them too. So I think it's kind of a wash in that regard. I think with Misa, though, among the top forwards, he really doesn't have really major question marks while doing a lot of things really, really well. And also having just a tremendous track record, 60 goals this year in the OHL, a lot of them at the net front. Just going to the timing thing you just mentioned, and I think he is definitely the favorite to be the first forward picked in this draft.
When we look at the development that would happen for a young player, I think we can get a little bit swayed by Macklin Celebrini's performance because he came in at a very, very high level, especially for such a young player. But I guess the most interesting comparison for any of these young players is Will Smith because he started right off at the NHL level. Clearly, there was some development that needed to happen, but I would argue that it did happen. He developed, very much by the time we got mid-January. Things changed for him, and I always point to that. It was an early game on a January, I think day off. I think it was a holiday, MLK Day, and he had a great game in Boston and really took off from there. From that, and then maybe from what you're seeing that the Sharks have done at the Barracuda level, in terms of player development, are the Sharks, I don't know if doing it the right way is the right question, but have you seen enough to think that okay, if they're looking at a player and they believe there's development that needs to be done, that they know how to do that process?
Yeah, I think Smith is a good example, but I think William Eklund is probably a better example. I mean, he came over to North America and there were some good stretches, but there were some stretches down in the American League where you weren't sure if they were going to maximize on this top 10 pick and whether he was going to be the forward they were hoping he was going to be. And you fast forward a couple of years later after that start of the American League, he's become a really important part of that team. I think you absolutely can point to some positives in their player development, especially in regards to Eklund. Like I said, Smith started off slow but really good in the second half. Then he goes to the World Championships. He helps them win a gold medal. I think you got to be optimistic. I think you can see some signs there, but the issue is I think they have a long way to go with the player development stuff just because they have so many other young guys coming. We'll see how Musty does as a pro this year. We'll see how Tunin does. We'll see how Chernyshev does, whoever they pick this year. And obviously Dickinson, we'll see how they handle him. I think that's going to be a real tricky one for them next year unless he could just blow them away and be a 20-minute guy a night right away as a 19-year-old, but he might not be. He's still a teenager. But so they're still kind of in the early parts of this rebuild where there's still a lot of key guys they got to develop. So very good early indicators, but there's still a long way to go.
The Sharks do have a lot of draft capital. Have you flirted with the idea of them making moves, trades? I mean, I can't see them moving number two, but Mike Grier said that a team last year, they came to him with the Ricky Williams package for the number one in 24. Have you thought about what a team might even offer for a number two for the San Jose, or just what they might do with some of their other, because they've got two first and second this year, and that's a lot to play with.
Yeah, I think the only real scenario I could see is if, depending who you talk to, some people adore Michael Misa and view him as the clear top forward in this draft, or even in the conversation with Matt Schaefer to be the number one player in this draft. And some of them don't. I've talked to teams that have Misa as like their number three forward or think it's indistinguishable between him and some of those other top forward names. And depending where the Sharks land on that, I think you could probably find a dance partner who would value Misa really, really highly and would pay And if you feel like you can get an analogous player a couple of spots later, I think that's a potential scenario that could play out. In terms of moving their assets, I think the what I love Dickinson. I think he's going to be a monster defensive for them for a long time. But it's fair looking at what they've drafted and their pipeline as a whole that they need to maybe try and find a creative way to get a premier young defenseman, presuming they don't get access to Schaefer this year. And so that could be something to look out for.
The one thing Mike Greer has talked about is that he doesn't want to rush the process, but rush is not the same thing as, make a splash. I mean, just while you juxtapose the draft with free agency coming up, there are some big, big names. And, the Mike Greer has a lot of, he's got a lot of money to spend just to get to the cap floor now for San Jose because of some of the trades they made at the deadline this year. Are you just, I guess, how intriguing are the Sharks in these next few months overall?
Well, I mean, you got a team like a Buffalo who's got to find out what to do with someone like a Bowen Byram, for example. The Islanders got to figure out what to do with Noah Dobson. So you don't want to go and get a 31-year-old who's probably going to, by the time the Sharks are ready to be good, he's going to be on the decline. But if there's a defenseman in their early to mid-20s who you think has a chance to be an important part of your franchise in the next 5 to 10 years, I think they're absolutely, they have a lot of assets to try and make something happen.
Going back to the draft, one of the knocks that we heard on Higgins is that he's not big enough. And I don't know if I always buy into that. I understand it on paper, but I can name you countless players that were not the biggest guys in the world. How much of a concern is that when you look at him?
I mean, it's every player has a weakness. That's his weakness. Just like Martones is going to be his skating, and you go to some other players at the top of the draft. McQueen, they're going to have issues on his injury history, and O'Brien has issues on his pace and his finishing. It's there's guys have various issues. I mean, that's Hagan's issue, but it was Will Smith's issue too. It's why some people carved him up a little bit at times, but he has tremendous offense. I mean, he got to the pro game. He showed at times he struggled with the physicality, and then at times he showed tremendous skill and power play ability and the and ability to make plays. And I think that's kind of the similar case with Smith. I think, sorry, with Higgins. I actually think Smith and Higgins are very closely rated as prospects. And that's kind of where I had whatever. I think I had Smith 4 or 5 on my list, and I have Higgins 5 on my list right now, too. I do think with Higgins, even though he's been a center all of his life, like Smith was, I do wonder if Higgins is for sure going to be a top line center in the NHL. Maybe he's a second line center. It might be a first line wing. I think whoever picks him to figure that out. I do think in terms of the Sharks, I do wonder, just to keep bringing up Will's name, I do wonder if he'd be a little redundant for them at the second overall pick. And I would suspect that Greer might be looking at a different element to add with that pick.
Do you think Smith, from what you saw this year, is for sure going to be this the number two center that they want or projected him as? I can't say yes or no. I thought he looked very good at the wing at times, and it's hard to tell a 20-year-old, hey, go out there and be a second line center in your rookie season. But from what you saw for him, do you think he's trending that way?
Yeah, there's a couple of variables, and one is like he's so young, so underdeveloped physically that I completely understand inclination as a 19-year-old to push him to the wing to start off. And even though he got to play a little bit down the middle, take some draws here or there, the issue is I have found when watching similar situations like Clayton Keller, for example, which has often been a player that Smith's been compared to, is when they come up and they get moved to the wing, it doesn't often happen that they get moved back. It's tough. Now it's different with San Jose, where when Keller went into then Arizona, they were trying to win a little bit faster, and they just brought in some veterans. Well, I think with Smith, you're going to have opportunity this year to try him again in the middle. But I would probably say it's 50-50 at this stage, and it's a lot less pressure as a fourth overall pick from to be the number two as opposed to number one. You can maybe live with the fact that he's not a matchup centerman, that he's going to be a guy who's going to get you points and make plays, and Mac is going to be the guy who's going to play the heavy minutes. But I could also definitely see the Sharks entering this draft and saying, well, we think Misa's got a good chance to be a center, and we like both of those options, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to try both out and see, get the flexibility. And they're both fantastic players, and it's just good to have options.
Yeah, no, it's options is a good problem to have. And then just as a final one before I let you go, have you seen anything in what is winning in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, and even looking at the last couple of years, that maybe tells you more about what teams will trend towards in the near future? Because, I mean, once again, I think if I look at Edmonton, I say, well, they've got the best player on the planet. That's certainly a good way to go about winning. I'm not going to argue that.
But hard to repeat.
Yes, yeah, very much. And then, I look at Florida and I say, there is a team that has a model that I think other teams would want to copy, but at the same time, trying that there's nothing quote unquote new about what Florida has been doing.
Yeah, I think you got to go a little bit beyond that. I think even look at Dallas, who's been making a lot of deep runs. Carolina's made some deep runs, obviously had some issues in the third round.
Yeah.
I think you'll see on all of their blue lines, they're all huge. They all can skate. They all compete hard. They are have all those teams have very physically dominating blue lines. Maybe Evan Bouchard being the one outlier in that regard, but he's still big and he just has a ton of offense. And the way Edmonton runs their team, their power play, it's a very unique structure in how they run their team. And the forwards, what I found is when you look at all the top forwards on all these teams that have been making deep runs over the last year or two, not just this year, but past last year or two as well, is they're all really, really competitive. You don't find a lot of forwards that are playing key roles this deep in the year who can't handle the physicality of the playoffs, who aren't giving consistent efforts every night. And all of them obviously are very skilled. But I've found that the forwards don't all need to be elite skaters. The defensemen seem to be more prioritized with the skating, but the forward seems to be more about hockey sense, skill, and their overall willingness to battle and to play through the physicality of these bigger defensemen.
Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time as always. Keep up the great work, and I'll be bugging you again soon. All right, man.
Sure thing. Thank you.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.